WFHR, 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. More police officers being deployed at synagogues across the UK after police there say two people were killed when an attacker drove a car into a group outside a temple this Yom Kippur. One person was stabbed. Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham.
It is a serious incident, but at the same time, I can give some reassurance immediately to people that the immediate danger appears to be over.
Police shot and killed the suspect. Business on Capitol Hill paused for the holiday on the second day of a government shutdown. New Hampshire's Democratic Senator Jean Shaheen is optimistic.
We are not that far apart. This is not that difficult to solve.
Two Delta planes collided at slow speed on a taxiway at New York's LaGuardia Airport. CBS News producer Joey Annunziata was on one of the flights.
Super jarring. Everyone shot forward in their seats. And it was kind of a little chaotic as soon as it happened.
A flight attendant was injured. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. We have a new candidate in next year's race for the state Supreme Court. Last year's contest between Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel became the most expensive state court race in American history. Savannah Tolmay Olson has the details.
Conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley's term is up in 2027. Liberal appellate judge and former state representative Chris Taylor announced she would be running against Bradley. But then, about a month ago, Bradley announced she would not seek re-election. She called on conservatives to, quote, take stock of failures, identify the problem, and fix it, end quote. Liberal judges have won four of the last five Wisconsin Supreme Court elections. Now, a conservative contender is entering the race to replace her. Maria Lazar has been on the 2nd District Court of Appeals since 2022. She released her first campaign video.
I am an independent, impartial judge who strives to follow the law and Constitution in every decision I make from the bench. It is time to restore that level of judicial dedication to the court. That is precisely why I have decided to run for the open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
The court currently has a 4-3 liberal majority. If a conservative candidate wins, that balance would stay the same. If a liberal candidate wins, the court would have a 5-2 liberal majority.
A proposed bill seeking to push back the enforcement date of recently adopted building codes was heard in the State Assembly Committee this week. The legislation was proposed by a group of Republican lawmakers and seeks to delay the start of enforcement until April of 2026. Enforcement was originally scheduled to begin on Wednesday, but the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services pushed that deadline back to November 1st amid concerns from the construction industry over inflation, workforce shortages, and supply chain issues. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers on standby. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers waiting to find out who they'll play Saturday. Yesterday, the Padres beat the Cubs 3-0 to tie that series at one game apiece. I asked Brewers outfielder Jake Bowers, what's the team's chemistry like heading into the postseason?
We have guys who want to be in the room. We have guys who enjoy being around each other. Like I said, we have guys who want to have each other's backs. And I think when the mentality is to pick each other up instead of I'm going to be the guy, I think that's when good things happen.
NBA, the Bucks training camp getting underway. Head coach Doc Rivers was asked,
what's the biggest adjustment you want this team to embrace day one of camp?
To be committed how we want to play, because it's a change. You have to do it every day in practice. Everything's going to be harder. Conditioning has to be better. And so that's going to take a full commitment.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This sunny, warm, summery weather is going to continue for a few more days, but we will feel a lot more like fall by next week. Today, though, sunny, high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
Strauss.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the Big House to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue from On Location in Shawnee, Wisconsin. We'll continue to follow the government shutdown. And when entertainment and politics cross over, who do you hold accountable? Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, live from Music City in Midtown Nashville, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, that was pretty good. I thought there might be another punchline in there or something, but...
Oh, do you want the punchline again?
No. I thought maybe you'd come up with another one.
You
played it straight, and I appreciate that very much.
If you don't play it straight at least once, you're just kind of...
Yes. Well, we can't have Don Rusain from our Lake Wasota studios when I'm not on Lake Wasota right now. So thank you for pinch hitting on that. I'll have to get those notes to Don more in advance, in the future.
You will. I would like to ask, are you on a lake?
No. No. Like you just said, Midtown Nashville.
Yes. See, that's a problem, Pat. I feel that... Yeah. You have to be on a lake in order to do Up North News.
Is that how I have to be able to do this?
Yes, I think
I
so.
I have to be someplace that is onto and accessible. Yes.
I guess I'm on two, so I make up for your lack of a lake.
There you go. Have we noticed here, and again, this is a radio show, so our video production value isn't always what we want it to be, but I tease you about your camera all the time, looking rather kind of, you know, greenish.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or have I just gone completely orange now?
I wasn't going to go orange. I was going to go more like cherry.
I was going to go like Oompa Loompa or something like that. It's just, I don't know. It's like
Trump-esque.
Oh man, that is harsh. I'm just going to turn the camera off here right now. We'll just put you on full. There we go. I suppose we can keep this on. Anyway, so we'll continue to play around with camera settings over here. But in the meantime, welcome you back to this second hour of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got your Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest keyword coming up in just a bit. First, a hello from Robin Tigerton. Good morning, he says. It's partly cloudy and foggy. 53 degrees, visibility down to 1 mile. Remember, drive with your headlights on. I've seen several vehicles driving by without their headlights on. Says he's got a doctor's appointment in Shawnee yesterday, apparently for an ear infection. Said he used to listen to WSPT for years. Always loved the variety of music. And also listens to Civic Media too, of course. I've got lawns in Tigerton today. The morning dew has kept the grass growing, especially in the shaded areas. Got 5 yards to mow in Tigerton with the warmer weather, hanging on. And this warmer weather really has hung on very nicely. That's great. So Rob, thank you for the good morning out there. We appreciate it very much. And now let's turn to the business at hand. And that, of course, would be the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. And, oh, look, we get the music bed, too. That's fantastic. He puts a lot of work into this.
Other people put a lot of work into this. I just find it on the website.
There you go. So anyway, the Go for the Green and Gold contest means you get to win cash and jewelry as part of a daily prize. $200 plus a gold-plated chain goes to one of the many entries that will come in today and every day. Seven different chances to enter the contest, seven different keywords on all the different programs. Your job before the end of each of those hours is to text it in to us using the Civic Media app. And then, along with all those chances for a daily prize, every entry is in the running for the grand prize in this multi-station, multi-state game. One lucky winner will get, for the whole enchilada, two club-level indoor seats to see a football game, Green Bay versus Minnesota. It's a Green Bay home game on November 23rd, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of the grand prize package is more than $1,500. And so now let's get to that word. It is zone, Z-O-N-E, zone. And you've got until 8 o'clock to use your Civic Media app and text us the word zone. Then your next chance to enter will be during the 9 o'clock hour of Matt and Air on Air in the Go for the Green and Gold contest across Civic Media. And I always am so happy to see how quickly they come in. And I feel like, you know, just wanting to share some of the love here. TJ in Oshkosh, Mark in Jefferson, Whistler in Richland Center, Tom in New Berlin is out there. There's Julianne in Cronenwetter, Tom in Jackson, Chuck in East Troy. Everybody getting out there with their chance to win. And I don't know that we see, Parker, the data on which words get plucked at which point. But I would like to think and take credit for that most of the daily winners sent their entry in during the 7 a.m. hour on show.
I think that they
all
did.
I can't prove it. And until somebody can disprove it, you know, I get to claim otherwise. Isn't that how politics works today?
I think so, yes. I'm pretty sure.
You can kind of get to say however you want. So there you go. meanwhile, Tony's asking, is Civic Media going to have World Series to the Cleveland-Milwaukee series? Somebody's already putting the Brewers and the Guardians in the World Series and wants tickets. Well, Tony, when that doesn't happen, we can now thank you for jinxing things.
Yeah,
I think that's how this works here.
That is a great question, though. Do we still have the tickets during the postseason?
If you were running a radio station and you had these great tickets throughout the course of the season, and then you had them for the postseason, would you tell anybody?
Well, I'm not saying that we should give them away.
What tickets? No, I don't know. They were regular season only. Why would we have postseason tickets when we had regular season tickets all year round? We give them up for the postseason.
I don't know how that works.
It could be. I don't either. So you're the one who's down there at Civic Media World HQ. So again, without jinxing the Brewers, we've charged you with finding out if, you know, there will be postseason tickets that will be given away, or if they're being used by, you know, I figured John and Gordy have the most seniority, so I figured they're just hoarding them to themselves.
Is that a nice way of just calling them old?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. I can do that now, you know? I mean,
yeah.
People of our age, we can't do a lot, but we do remember eBay. And I'm just imagining John and Gordy on eBay right now going, quick, before management finds out, how much can we get for these things? It could happen. But first, to get there, we've got to figure out in the National League Division Series whether we are going to be playing the Chicago Cubs or the San Diego Padres. And we still don't know the answer to that because the Padres were winners yesterday over the Cubs. And that means a deciding third game is going to be taking place today. I wanted to get the right game time on here, and naturally I don't have that screen in front of me right here. So the Padres beat the Cubs 3-0, and so here's the schedule for today's games. Now, the one series is already complete. The Los Angeles Dodgers swept the Cincinnati Reds in two games. It's a best-of-three series here. And in the other three series, they're now tied at a game apiece, and so it breaks down this way. The deciding game between Tony's Cleveland Guardians and the Detroit Tigers will be at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Then the Padres and Cubs will play at 4 o'clock this afternoon at Wrigley Field. And then the Sox and the Yankees will play at 7 o'clock tonight. And that, you know, obviously we'll be paying more attention to the Padres Cubs game, but I never turn down a chance to watch Sox Yankees.
No,
because
yeah.
it's I mean, that's just a good old fashioned rivalry there. And for me, it always harkens back to 2004 when, again, the Red Sox were like the Cubs. They had gone forever without winning a World Series.
Yeah. Curse of the Bambino. And,
yes, exactly. And back in the 2004 postseason, I was on a work trip. I was in Madison, if I'm not mistaken, for a week to learn a whole new newsroom computer program. And so they, you know, put us up in a hotel, and then we had these classes every day to make sure that we knew how to operate this thing. Well, at night you'd go down to the hotel bar, and it was game four of the American League Championship Series, and the Yankees were already up 3-0. And so that first night we're all there having our beverages, expecting the Yankees are going to sweep, and Boston wins. Okay, that's fine. You know, next day we do our classes, we go to the hotel bar, and Boston wins again. And, you know, the next night afterwards, we go down and Boston wins again. And now it's suddenly going to a deciding seventh game.
Maybe.
And never had a team come down from 3-0 in the league championship series to win the next four and go to the World Series. And so, of course, by that time, of course, we're all Brewers fans. But at that moment, we're all Sox fans.
Oh, yeah.
We're just all the place is packed, and Boston goes on to win that seventh game and goes on to the World Series. And so, yeah, for that brief time, you know, we were all kind of Sox fans.
Yeah.
Because it had never been done before. And it was the Yankees.
Always good to root for the underdog and against the Yankees.
Yes.
If those things are the same thing, that's beautiful.
Yeah, so it won't be exactly the same tonight, but it's going to be an interesting series. The Dodgers, meanwhile, by beating the Reds and eliminating them, go on to play the Philadelphia Phillies. So, again, in theory, not to get ahead of myself, but we'll be playing the Padres or the Cubs, and if the Brewers come out on top of that series, then we would take on the winner of the series between the Dodgers and Phils to see who goes to the World Series. That would be fun.
That will be very. I am rooting for the Phillies because Los Angeles Dodgers. Need I say more?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the Yankees. You know, the big city teams. They're already set. They don't need any extra help from us.
Yeah.
Again, our goal for the green and gold text to win contest. The word is zone that you want to text in to us using the Civic Media app before 8 o'clock this morning. And now the Packers have a bye week. We've already mentioned the Brewers waiting to play the Padres or Cubs starting Saturday. And then there's Badger football. The Badgers will be in Ann Arbor taking on Michigan. Pregame coverage will begin at 9 o'clock on stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. Parker will not be listening in. He will be paying attention to the Whitewater game.
Yes.
Do you have the WIAC schedule in front of you since we've got the conference schedule getting underway? I mean, can you at least start by telling us who Whitewater is playing?
Whitewater is playing lacrosse. That is number 9 and number 5 in the country, I believe. And then it's the War on 94. So Eau Claire and Stout play each other this weekend.
Oh, yes, they do. I have it here. It's Stout at Eau Claire.
I believe we'll be playing Stevens Point plays
at Platteville,
yeah,
and River Falls at Oshkosh, and lacrosse at Whitewater, and that's all happening on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah,
so yeah, we'll get the conference season underway there. And you're upset that there's going to be 20,000 people at, is it called Warhawk Stadium? What is it?
It used to be called Warhawk Stadium. It's now called Perkins Stadium. No, it is not named after the restaurant.
I was just going to say. Okay, no. All right.
It is fine. Not. It's named for a coach who coached for I don't know how long, but roughly forever and in multiple sports.
Okay, got it. All right. So now you're up to speed on everything happening sports-wise as we kind of get a very early look into the weekend here. Hey, reminder, we've got a couple of different newsletters that you should be signing up for and enjoying. There's the new Civic Media daily newsletter called Civic Media Today. Head over to Civic Media Today. .substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. And of course, over here at Up North News, we've got plenty to share with you as well. We've got our Sunday Mornings with Pat Quitelow newsletter with a little Wisconsin politics bent to it. and of course our weekday newsletter as well that Ellie Bordeaux puts together, and you can do all that at upnorthnewswi.com. Coming up in 15 minutes, Secretary Amy Pihacek of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. I'm Pat Kreitlove. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Grown Radio, WFHR.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Turn things all the way up and find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. A step forward for clean energy in Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission has approved its first wind farm in 14 years. The Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center will be built in Iowa and Grant counties. At the same meeting, commissioners also approved a new solar farm in Walworth and Jefferson counties. It might be fall, but it sure doesn't feel like it. Some Wisconsin communities like Milwaukee have already seen record highs, and that's bad news for our fall colors. Experts with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office say warm fall nights mean more muted leaf colors. And yep, climate change is making our nights hotter and hotter. Right now on the Defender podcast, AI data centers are racing ahead in Wisconsin, but staggering energy and water demands raise serious questions. Tune in for an in-depth discussion on data center secrets at CleanWisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI studios.
I've been asked several times. I couldn't say exactly when, but I would say probably sometime next year.
They're usually really good about letting people that were a part of the episode know, and I think there's even some legality to that they have to. So we'll be certainly as a community knowing the hell of time.
Yeah, I'll do some more press releases on it. The thing else, you know, you look at some of the comments that are on social media, some I ignore. But some, you know, you look at, and, you know, this didn't cost the county anything. Mm-hmm. You know, some of our county board members had gotten information, oh, this is costing Wood County $200,000. I'm like, no, that's...
You know, where do they get these numbers, too?
I just set them straight. No, there's no cost to the county at all. So, yeah, and even with the staff, they've been awesome. You know, I think there's a little bit of apprehension with it right away, but... The film crew's been just phenomenal, just fitting in and, you know, working with everybody, and they've got a weekend, and it's been going over really well.
One of the things that I could see you getting into the show, and I could see you being pulled into it like a lot of people are. I think that I didn't watch it routinely, but I saw enough episodes, and I've had enough time since then, those original episodes in the 90s, look back and see some of that. And there's some things here and there about it we could go on and talk about, but one of the things that stood out to me was for every scene that there is of, oh, they're chasing a possible criminal, and he's hiding under a kiddie pool or something. For every scene like that, there are heartfelt ones. There are ones where you see officers helping an unhoused person, or talking to somebody who could be arrested, but they talk it through and they figure it out and something, and maybe they're not arrested or something like that. You saw so many stories that you'd never see in TV or movies. You never see those. There's been a billion cop shows. You've never seen storylines like you would on Cops, and they were actual individuals, real police officers. Mm-hmm. Boy, I cannot think of a day and age where we could use that more than right now and having that.
No, good point.
There's going to be those scenes where you're going to, they're chasing the guy around and everything. He does some kooky or knucklehead or whatever and everything. But along with that, I hope and I imagine, them bringing this back. And especially, it sounds like they're taking time inside jails and like that. They're not doing that just for that type of footage. They're doing it for that homegrown footage, that stuff that really humanizes our officers, something you and I have been trying to do from day one.
Yeah, great point again. If you look at the consistency on the treatment of law enforcement throughout the country, somebody might get arrested, but you're going to see the professionalism. And that's, again, cops films all over the country. And, what I've learned, it's not just the large, law enforcement agencies where you have a high volume of calls to service. It's everywhere, that they're at. And here, we're a smaller department, they reached out. Obviously, the show is still popular, but I think the biggest point, what you just said, is how you see the professionalism throughout the country. And you're going to see that with our corrections staff, and how they treat people, how they treat, our inmates that are in custody, with professionalism and respect. And it's again, the personal end of it is. It's kind of cool for me, but that's not why they're here. They're here to show what our correction staff does and to highlight them. And so people can get the opportunity, not just locally, but nationally, to see, how good we are.
That full circle moment for you is very organic, and that seems to be how it happens. I've had some moments like that and some others out there, and I love when that happens. It's just cool to hear that happen for you on a personal level. That's awesome. It is also just great to have something like this going on in our community and to be able to highlight that jail, to be able to highlight these officers and these individuals. It's a great thing. We'll be keeping an eye on that and certainly looking for that episode down the line. It's going to be exciting. Looking forward to it. I probably might ask you next month a little bit more about how the last bit of filming went and stuff. Sure. We might touch on this again.
Maybe we'll get one of the filmmakers to come in and talk to if they're still around, if they're up to it.
Sure. We know that as we are getting into October here, there's a couple of things we want to highlight that are unique about October.
Yeah. Domestic Violence Awareness Month. That's for the month of October. Just to highlight our partnership with the Family Center here in Southwood County and thank you for what they do and working with us and helping, victims get through really tough situations. A huge thank you to them. You'll see many of our deputies wearing a purple pin in respect or in more or less an awareness for Domestic Violence Awareness Month of October. But, quite honestly, we've talked about this every month, every day is domestic violence awareness. And just always remember people are out there in tough situations that we've got to work through with them and then working through not only the person that is going to be held responsible, but remember the victims. The spouse, the children, and the impact that it has. It affects everybody. So, we'll be, thinking of everybody this month, but it's really every day. It's something, especially in our profession. Then the other thing, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we also have Pink Patches. We've been doing that for quite some time. So you'll see deputies also wearing the pink patch throughout this month, but we didn't make it a requirement just, hey, you only can wear this one month. You can wear it anytime because it not only represents, people going through breast cancer, but anybody that is going through cancer, it represents, that tough situation, that health situation that somebody's going through, and cancer takes away too many good people from our lives, and it's a, a way to honor, represent them as we have the last several years. So, two big things this month to consider. Please think about the victims and people that are going through those, situations with domestic violence, and the people going through not only breast cancer, but cancer itself. It affects mm-hmm. so many people, family, friends, and thoughts and prayers to everybody that are going through that right now.
Want to thank you and the team being with us at the Family Center, being on the right side of history for that matter with this topic. And certainly the amount of purple that we see out there in the community is appreciated. You're going to see a lot of porch lights that will go purple. Mm-hmm. Encourage others to do that as well. Not only does that mean something as far as the cause and certain things like that, and it absolutely means something to the members over at the Family Center who, mm-hmm. Especially working in a nonprofit, you get this better than I do, sir. The grind of the week, the grind of the month, the grind of the year, and those things, and what gets you through that. And oftentimes it can
be... You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
With heifer replacement numbers expected to keep dropping, do you have inventory to keep your dairy or beef on dairy herds strong? I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Thursday. And here at World Dairy Expo, we're checking in with Corey Geiger, a lead dairy economist with CoBank. He says if you have not pivoted to maximize beef on dairy, you may want to, and make sure that you have the cattle to back it up.
It's a really good market opportunity. Work with your reproductive specialists and double down on how many of these calves we can make, but keeping an eye, do I have enough replacements to replace my future dairy herd? Because one trend that's happening in this country, in the past 3 years, we have pulled back on culling by 600,000 dairy cows. That means our dairy cows are getting older, and at some point they all move their second career, which is beef. And so I think for the first time in many farmers' careers, you really got to run some spreadsheets or hand calculate this. Do I have enough replacements? And then how many beef on dairy calves can I make to maximize my revenue?
Corey Geiger, along with us, a lead dairy economist with CoBank.
They are my go-to for my tailgate. Yep, Bavaria sausage, that's what I'm talking about. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you, check out their website, BavariaSausage.com, for all the flavor selections you can feature at your tailgate. They are going through an upgrade on that website, so keep checking back often. You can also find out more on their Facebook page. If you're in the Madison area, check out their retail location at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. That's where you'll find my Berkey Brats, one of my favorites. And remember, their store hours have expanded. Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturdays, 9 until 1. Don't miss an opportunity with the weather that we've been given. Get out there and tailgate and enjoy it with your neighbors and impress them with the flavors that you select. Bavaria Sausage will get you on your way. Again, check back often because their website's going through updates, BavariaSausage.com or the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, and you tell them the Farm Babe sent ya.
On the close yesterday was a good time to read markets as our commodities closed higher. December corn up a penny at 416.5. November soybeans up 11.25 at 1013 a bushel. Cash wheat up a penny and a quarter at 409.25. And July 2026 new crop wheat closed up 0.75 cents at 552.5. At the time cheese closed yesterday, Class 3 milk contracts were trading higher. The October contract up 23 cents at 1745 a hundredweight. The November contract up 47 cents at 1738 a hundredweight. Class 3 milk is what we use to make cheese, and the 40-pound block did close higher yesterday, up 3.5 cents at $1.75.5. From World Dairy Expo at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
This sunny, warm, summery weather is going to continue for a few more days, but we will feel a lot more like fall by next week. Today, though, sunny, high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep,
The real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Dr. Laura Dresser, the Associate Director of the High Road Strategy Center. We talk about workers needing an actual, fair, and living wage. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Secretary Amy Fahacek, hello. Good morning. How are you? Thank you for being here.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be joining you today, Pat.
The economy isn't as rosy as it used to be, and as a result, there might be a need for workforce development services. Seems like a good time to find out what the Wisconsin DWD is all about. So do you want to start first with just an overarching view of the mission of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development?
Absolutely. I would love to. And Pat, you are spot on. There is a lot of uncertainty in the economy and the job market these days. And we know Wisconsinites are feeling it. And whether that's folks looking for a new job, a career change, or entering or re-entering the workforce, the Department of Workforce Development has many services to support not only our job seekers, but our businesses here in the great state of Wisconsin. So our agency is charged with connecting employers and workers across the state. So we do that through a variety of different ways. We have 28 physical brick and mortar job centers all around the state, but we will meet folks anywhere at a Starbucks, at a library. And we also have virtual services that are clearly online and statewide and available from the comfort of somebody's own home. And all of the services we offer are at no cost. So some of the things that we can do is we can connect local job seekers with training, certifications, resources. We can help folks write resumes. We can help them find a job. We are the state's labor exchange, so we have all of the open positions on the Job Center of Wisconsin for our employers that are looking for work. So we can do a skills assessment and see what might be a great match for individuals. We can also help people with things like apprenticeships or internships. And we really have a lot of services also centered around historically underutilized qualified talent pools. This is individuals with disabilities. We've got resources. We've got funding to help folks. And we work with businesses as well, connecting with these qualified job pools. And we can do career fairs for businesses, no cost. We can set up businesses with apprenticeships, again, with internships, make those connections. We can provide training. And we also have grants like Wisconsin Fast Forward, which are training grants that go to incumbent workers, new employees, and their business-led opportunities. We distribute over $5 million in grants every year. We have a lot of other wonderful things, but I think that is sort of a good overview and kind of a big intro into what we do here for the state.
And you know, before we even get into more specifics about this, I'm sure folks have already been intrigued, want to learn more. So help me if I'm going to give two web addresses and let me know if there's others we should put up there. But the overall department address for the Department of Workforce Development, DWD, is dwd.wisconsin.gov. But also, if you're on Instagram, you can go to WI Workforce. Again, on Instagram, it's WI Workforce, and you'll get to the Department of Workforce Development. Is there any other avenues you want people to know about if they want to learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is like you referenced. It's right there. And if they want to talk to somebody, there's lots of different phone numbers depending on the program, but we are there at the ready to help direct folks to the right location.
Okay, sounds good. We're talking to Amy Pahacek, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, about the increased number of job seekers. And that has just been
the way things have gone in the 2025 economy at this point. You've had people losing their jobs in the public sector. You've certainly had uncertainty because of tariffs. You now have agricultural issues with a trade war that the president has got going on right now. So in all of these things, I mean, I don't know if we want to take any one thing, but somebody has either been laid off, they've lost their job, maybe they're thinking about a change. And so for all the things we just talked about, what is the best very first step that they can take?
Well, if somebody's laid off, they should go ahead and file for unemployment, which is the temporary income through unemployment insurance that we run here for the state of Wisconsin. And I do have to say two quick things just about the progressive history of our wonderful state. Wisconsin was the first state in the nation to pass both a state-run unemployment system back in the 1930s. We were also the first state in the nation to have a constitutionally valid workers' compensation program and the first state in the nation to pass a state apprenticeship program all the way back in 1911. So wonderful history there, and all of these programs are available. But if I have lost my job, I want to immediately file for unemployment so I can start to access some of those unemployment payments that folks are entitled to. That is not taxpayer money. That is an insurance program that employers pay into through their state taxes. So that is, their state program. So that is basically there as a safety net to keep not only that individual and their family with income while they are looking for a job, but it also keeps our local economies healthy, because when folks receive those payments, of course, they're buying groceries and paying rent and putting gas in their car, right, which keeps all of our businesses moving forward. But at that point, maybe you're thinking about a career change. Maybe you're thinking about a certification. And we have job counselors that will go and do a skills assessment, talk to you about your interests, what schooling you may want to attend, or maybe you want a certification or apprenticeship. We can help find you resources not only to pay for those trainings or schooling, but also additional resources that we can help provide, including access to childcare. Maybe somebody's having a hard time putting food at the table. We are there to connect those dots and really act as the convener of different resources available to people, because we know that really going to work every day, it has a lot. You know, you need a good job, but you also need to be able to feed the kids and make sure you have those first really important needs met in your family. So we are here to help hit all of those needs. And I do, Pat, also want to talk a little bit more about the apprenticeship program, because it is wildly popular here in Wisconsin, and it has expanded significantly over the last 5 years. We've been breaking records in terms of numbers of registered apprenticeships, numbers of youth apprentices, with a record number of employer partners in a record number of new career pathways. I know many of your listeners think of apprentices and they think of the trades, which are still some of the highest paid and highest enrollment numbers that we have. So those are our electricians, our welders, our plumbers. They're wonderful occupations. But in Wisconsin, we've been leading the way, and we have rolled out the first in the nation 4-year registered nurse, which is a bachelor's degree apprentice. And we have teaching apprentice, IT, cybersecurity, HR, finance. And what makes Wisconsin different than all of the other states is that we require an earn while you learn model, which means that folks are paid not only for their hands-on work experience while they're learning their craft and their skills, but also for their associated time in the classroom. So this is typically a zero out of pocket, zero debt, while you're earning money, way to get a degree or certification in virtually any industry, any occupation that includes tourism, farming, food preparation. Amazing opportunities here. So I'm happy to be able to highlight what a great program that we have in the state of Wisconsin.
We're talking to Secretary Amy Pihacek from the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. We've hit several of the areas that DWD works on, but there are also things like disability employment services and veterans employment services. Do you want to touch on those a little bit about, again, some of the other ways that people can provide assistance and getting into the workforce?
Absolutely, Pat. So thanks for bringing that up. So some of the trends we've been seeing here in the state of Wisconsin over the last 5 years have been record high jobs, record high employment. I've already talked about the record high number of apprentices. And one of the other areas that you just asked about, I'm happy to highlight, which is we have had a record number of individuals with disabilities enter into the workforce. And that has been very strategic on our part, because when you talk about record high jobs, we've also had record low unemployment. We, over the last 5 years, have had more jobs in Wisconsin than physical bodies to fill those jobs. And we call that the worker quantity challenge. And that is not unique to Wisconsin. That is an issue that's facing the entire nation. But what makes us different in Wisconsin is our very innovative approaches to helping overcome that gap of, again, more opportunity than physical bodies. And that also has a lot to do with demographics. We've known that there's been low birth rates for several generations. Our baby boomers are retiring. And here in Wisconsin, over the last 20 years, we've had net zero to negative in migration. Last year, we had up 20,000 folks. So we had 20,000 more people come than leave, which was great. But we need to keep going in that direction because of all of our record-breaking performance. And one of the ways we've been doing that, again, is connecting everybody who wants a job with a job and the resources they need to have competitive employment. And historically, folks with disabilities have been, I would say, overlooked in most industries and sectors. And what we have is an entire team of over 300 people statewide that are career counselors, they're social workers, they have an amazing ability to sit and work with somebody. And disabilities can mean a variety of things. It can be a physical impairment, like a orthopedic injury, or somebody who has a hearing impairment or a visual impairment, or it could be somebody who has a neurodivergence. They might have autism or be on the spectrum. And we have the ability to work with folks depending on their needs. And we can provide not only customized training and counseling, but also adaptive technology. So somebody may need hearing aids to be able to perform the functions of their job at a work site. And we can provide that medical adaptive equipment at no cost to the person. We also work with employers to make sure that they have an organizational environment that supports different abilities. And we can even provide a job coach on site for up to 6 months to work with that person and the employer every single day to make sure that both sides have needs being met. And it is an amazing program. So we, again, stand at the ready. You also referenced Veterans Employment Services. We have a whole team of Veterans Employment folks who are, by nature, they are all veterans themselves. So they understand some of the unique challenges that our wonderful servicemen and women go through when they come back to civilian employment. And last year, I'm proud to say that Wisconsin last year was fourth in the nation in terms of our Veterans Employment Services and our ability to place veterans with our wonderful employers here in the state. And we know that veterans make some of the best, most loyal, dedicated, and just perfect employees for our workforce here.
So much to learn. And to get more information, again, the department's website is DWD for Department of Workforce Development, dwd.wisconsin.gov, over on Instagram, WI Workforce. And as the secretary mentioned, plenty of phone numbers that can get you to just the right place. Secretary Amy Pahacek, Secretary of the Department of Workforce Development, thank you so much for visiting with us. It was great to hear all about the wonderful things you do.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was our pleasure. And of course, one of the things that I really took note of her saying was about Wisconsin population, you know, inflow or outflow. And, you know, for a time there, Wisconsin had one of the strongest economic recoveries coming out of the pandemic. And a lot of that dealt with the way that Governor Tony Evers was handling the federal pandemic aid, making sure that it went to Main Street businesses. Meanwhile, the legislature was pretty much AWOL at this point. But now we've once again had this downturn in our economy being caused out of Washington, D.C. And so after years of chasing away some of our youngest, best and brightest, we were just starting to see population inflows coming back to Wisconsin. And now we have to once again worry about the signals being sent by folks who just want to take care of those at the very top and not the people who would like to move to Wisconsin, live in Wisconsin, raise their family in Wisconsin, and even retire here. We'll have more coming up, including Chad Holmes in our next hour and political strategist Joe Zepecki. And again, our text to win contest prize for the top of the hour is Zone, Z-O-N-E. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones Financial Advisor at 715-421-0958.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As President Donald Trump seeks retribution against the prosecutors and law enforcement who investigated him, some of his 2020 allies are on the hook in civil court. Dominion Voting Systems and Smartmatic prevailed last week over Rudy Giuliani and Mike Lindell for their defamatory statements against the voting technology companies. Dominion sued Giuliani, former mayor of New York and Trump campaign lawyer, for $1.3 billion, claiming that he made false statements about Dominion's electronic ballot tabulators being rigged to tilt the election to Joe Biden. Dominion has previously won a $787 million settlement from Fox News and $67 million from Newsmax for similar claims. September 26, Dominion announced a settlement with Giuliani, though the amount is still unknown. In the past 2 years, Giuliani has been disbarred, filed for bankruptcy, and was indicted for trying to overturn the 2020 election. Also on September 26th, a federal judge found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell defamed voting systems company Smartmatic. The yet-to-be-decided damages may hinge on whether Lindell knew his claims the machines were manipulated were false. Lindell still faces a suit from Dominion. President Trump announced last month Giuliani would be awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
You know, especially working in a nonprofit, you get this better than I do, sir, the grind of the week, the grind of the month, the grind of the year and those things, and what gets you through that. And oftentimes it can be that little thing, that tiny thing that gives you that extra push or that extra motivation or just energy. And seeing, oh, you know, sometimes you're working at the family center and things can feel like it's you against the world or something like that. And then you see a community, three houses in a row with purple porch lights, and you realize, oh, I'm not alone in this fight. You see our sheriff's department wearing purple or something like that. No, I'm not alone in this fight. I've got others with me on this. It goes so much farther than we can really put into words. And then there are the, not just victims out there, but the possible ones. Yeah. There's statistically, we know there are many, many individuals out there that are in this situation right now, and we want them to get help. So when they see more and more people, more and more, almost a whole community on the same side on this topic, they're going to be that much more likely to come forward. They're going to be that much more likely to see that. These days of talking about this subject in a quiet voice are over. That we ain't putting the genie back in the bottle. We're not going backwards on this topic. Mm-hmm. We encourage you to do these things and to be a part of this, and certainly keep that in mind every month of the year.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
My family, I lost my grandmother to breast cancer. I almost, you know, my mom had a touch and go moment there. I worry about my daughters. I am saying this because I know there are hundreds and thousands of people out there that know exactly what I'm talking about and been through exact same thing. It's the same stuff I was just saying when it comes to this and seeing that purple badge or that pink badge and seeing the support there and the cause. And when we have people out there who are going through chemo or struggling right now or family members of that, they see that pink badge. They know they're not alone in that fight. They have another person that's right there with them on that. We see these colors and we talk about this stuff. I don't know that we stop enough to really just appreciate this. We've normalized some of these things so much, and it's not a bad thing necessarily, but life goes forward. We don't stop very often and just take a moment and like, man, this is pretty cool. We have a sheriff's department backing these causes. We have a sheriff's department that cares. We have the individuals in this community to do and go out of their way to show that care and that support.
Yeah, no, very well said. And that's, you know, when those, you look at those initiatives that are out there that touch people's lives, it's why not?
I hadn't said anything in a while, so I felt like I had to talk for that. No, I'm kidding. I'm just trying to lighten things up a little bit. But they are important topics, and they're very appreciated, sir. And I really do appreciate the fact that we take time to talk about them as well. Got some other things you wanted to touch on as well?
Shout out to my daughter, Jordan.
Yeah.
She had her birthday yesterday, so she's back to work over at the Niagara County Sheriff's Department, dispatching for them. She was on family leave for a bit. She had my grandson, River. He's doing great. He's over 15 pounds, gaining a lot of weight. He's starting to look like me more and more, balding and heavy. You know? So we're good with that. No, he's healthy. You know, things are good. But, yeah, big shout-out to Jordan up in Crandon. So, yeah. Other things, I want to bring up Sarah McCormick. I know she was on the show last time. And I just, her last day is this Friday, and just, you know, getting almost 30 years in the career, like they talk about it, all dedicated to a county's is pretty special, and wishing her the best as she moves forward in the next step of life. And, you know, you look at a legacy, and I talked about, you know, Doug Christensen before he retired, and, you know, what's part of that legacy that's going to be there for probably ever, you know, with Doug is the mental health side of things. And Sarah, you know, a couple things just jump out. And again, we did talk about them, but, you know, Project Lifesaver, her taking that role and making, you know, overseeing Project Lifesaver and now how sustainable it is and how that program, you know, I'm biased, but I'm going to tell you it's the best one in the state, if not in the Midwest. And that really falls on, you know, teamwork and ability for somebody to lead like Sarah did and jumping on it and getting out in the community and connecting with, you know, at-risk people to make sure we don't go through a tragedy like we did many years ago. You know, that's legacy right there, because you've got a program that is going to continue with the Sheriff's Department, no matter if I'm part of it or not, or it's there. And, you know, there's so many people that are part of that that are going to make sure that that's going to continue. And that's, you know, that's on her, you know. And also, you know, you look at the unfortunate circumstances that keep coming up in the country and those active shooter situations. And what we've been doing at the department is many presentations about how to prepare for those potential tragedies. You know, how can we, as people being taught from law enforcement officers, to keep us safe, whether it's a church community, a school, or a business. You know, Sarah, again, did many presentations out in our community in Wood County that are going to help people be safe. You know, hopefully we never have to go through a situation like that, but now that we've taught you and how to react to a tragedy like that, maybe not in Wood County, but somewhere else, that's another part of that legacy. You know, and then the last thing that just jumps out at me is LeVon Zenner. You know, that bridge that, you know, we talked about last month. I mean, it was really her, you know, pushing that, you know, and going through that with her, and how much it took just to name a bridge, a state highway, you know, after somebody that so deserved it and all the hoops that you had to go through. And that's going to be, you know, there forever, you know. And I think that really fits, you know, with somebody, that great person, you know, going to miss her, but look at the impact that you left here on the department and the community that's going to last forever. And that means a lot, I think, for all of us, you know, when you could, you know, put, you know, that much time into a career and really give yourself to the community and people see that and come around it. And then, you know, it builds from there. So, you know, congrats to Sarah. I'll miss you, you know, but I'm really excited for you to, for the next phase of your life. And she knows that she's always going to be welcome at the Sheriff's Department, even after she retires. We'll try to coax her back in for something.
I have no doubt. I want to shout her out again, thank her for the time. And I have to do this. My mom, she is a gigantic fan of Sarah's. She had not certainly known much about her before the interview. Listening to the interview, just came out of it, and she was raving about her. Would have thought it was one of her kids, the way she was raving about Sarah, just how amazing she thought her career was, and the legacy that she had in this area. And my mom, I thought, brought up a really solid point of, you know, we it's a legacy just on its own, important, all the things you said, sir.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report.
The attack in Manchester this morning is absolutely shocking.
Britain's Prime Minister Keir Starmer, after police say two people were killed, three critically injured, when an attacker drove into a crowd of people outside a Jewish temple in Manchester. CBS's Vicky Barker from London.
Eyewitnesses say a car sped towards the synagogue where dozens of people were standing outside on this Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. It appears the driver got out and began stabbing people. Armed police were there in minutes and gunned the suspect down.
Police believe that suspect is dead, but they haven't immediately confirmed it. Bomb experts are investigating whether he had an explosive device. Prime Minister Starmer.
Additional police assets are being deployed to synagogues across the country.
King Charles says he is deeply shocked and saddened over what he calls a horrific attack on such a significant day for the Jewish community. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.